You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, halfway home on this Friday evening with you. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We will do Rank'em coming up at 10:40 this evening. We will get to That's Life coming up here in about 20 minutes from right now. Let me ask you a question, Day-Day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Michael Soroka will ever get back to the pitcher that he was? So Michael Soroka in 2018, he started five games for the Braves, was 2-1, 3.51 ERA. 2019, he was an all-star. He finished second in Rookie of the Year voting. He was sixth in the Cy Young voting. 13-4. 2.68 ERA, 174 and two-thirds innings pitched, 142 strikeouts, 14 homers, 41 walks, had the fewest home runs per nine innings given up at .7, almost 3.5 strikeout-to-walk ratio. Then, obviously, 0-1 in 2020. Then the injuries all were coming, and now he's on his way back. He looked like he was about to become the best young pitcher in all of Major League Baseball in 2019. And again, I still think that Snitker was wrong to start Dallas Keuchel in that St. Louis series, but that's another story for another day. You think he'll ever get back up to that form?
I mean, pitching is one of those positions where it's kind of hard to, honestly. It doesn't mean he can't be a productive Michael Soroka, but that form, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'd like to see him just be solid.
Be
solid.
I 100% agree with you, and I hate to say it that way because again, he's not an old guy.
Mm-mm.
Or anything. I mean, he's only 25 years old. He'll be 26 here and just. Couple weeks. He's born on August 4th. But I don't disagree with you. I hope that he can just be a solid starter. I don't think he's ever going to get back to being the best young starter in Major League Baseball. I don't think that that's a realistic goal anymore. I think it's just too much time away. I just don't see that pitcher in him anymore. And I hate to say it that way, but I mean, I don't see that kind of bulldog in him from before, but maybe.
Yeah.
He's young enough and
yep.
Maybe he could have a resurgence in his career. I just don't see it anymore with Michael Soroka.
It's one of those things where it'll probably take an off season. I don't think we're going to see in season type of and to your point, it doesn't mean it can't happen in season, but I think it's going to be more of a off season. Let me work on commands. Let me work on, finding my spots on the plate. You know, that kind of thing. I think it's going to be more of a, let me really take an off season to really work on some things, and then I think maybe that's it, that could potentially lead to him getting back.
We thought that it was going to be that way this year, and then he had a hamstring issue in spring training,
right? Yeah,
and that completely derailed this season.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't the ACLs and all that. He had like a hamstring injury going down to training camp, or I should say spring training, and it completely derailed the season. And at this point, it's another lost season for Mike Soroka. I respect the fact that he's back and he's trying to pitch again, but he's had five starts on the year, and I understand he's still working his way back and all this, that, and the other, but I have my doubts. I really do. I really have my doubts about if he can get back to being arguably one of the one or two, three best young pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. And that's where he was. I mean, that 2019 season was magical. He was terrific. And when you factor in ballpark adjusted ERA, he led the National League in ERA.
Mm-hmm.
Again, with adjusted ERA, he led the National League in ERA. But I just don't see that pitcher anymore, and I don't know if he can get back to that kind of form. I don't think he's got that in him anymore. Not that he's not trying, or I'm just saying I don't think he gets back to that kind of level. And that would be a shame, because again, this was a guy who looked like he was really, going to be one of the bright young stars in Major League Baseball, and especially for the Atlanta Braves, and it just didn't work itself out that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a shame, because I mean, again, it's 100% injuries that have derailed his career to this point. I mean, he's basically had three seasons and now his fourth season, that was all plagued by injury and just not getting a chance to,
Yeah, I mean, like you said, that 2019 year was the only year he saw basically a full season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look at it like this, 13 of his 16 career wins came in that one year.
Mm-hmm.
And 174 and two-thirds of his innings pitched came in that one year of 237. I mean, basically, he's pitched less than 70 innings in what amounts to five other seasons.
Right.
Because three that he's pitched in and two that he missed, in basically five other seasons, he only had 70 innings.
Yep.
And it's a shame because, I mean, again, 2019, we looked at it and said, okay, this is going to be one of the stalwarts for this rotation that he's going to step up and he's going to be one of the better young pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. So, again, it just I don't know that he gets back to that kind of form, And I'm like with you. I hope he becomes solid. I didn't see Max Fried becoming the best left-hander in baseball. That was the other thing, too. I mean,
right.
he obviously, look, he's going to be back, and he's going to be back sooner than later. And I think he'll go on with his career, and it will work out. And, again, he's going to get paid in a couple of years, big-time paid in a couple of years, whether it's here or whether it's with somebody else. But he's going to get paid big-time money in a couple of seasons after the 2024 season. He's going to get paid, but I don't think Michael Soroka is going to be at that kind of level again. I don't see it happening. And Strider's obviously passed him by. Bryce Elder has passed him by. Ian Anderson has passed him by. I know Ian Anderson's out for the year, but even Ian Anderson has passed him by at this point. So, again, it's when Mike Bell talks about this all the time, but you can't have too much starting pitching. It's true.
No,
I mean, again, when you think you have a guy that is going to contribute for the long term, and then all of a sudden he's got most of his career that's been lost, and again, through not necessarily any fault of his own. I mean, he didn't do it to himself or whatever, but it just is kind of a shame because, again, Soroka was so good and we just got that little blip of a radar of a year from him.
Yeah. Well, and again, like I said, I just think it's not really early, but I just think we're at a point where, because we're halfway through the season, so he's looking at potentially maybe, because he's at, what, 5 starts now?
Yeah, I mean, he's had 5, I mean, he's made 4 starts on the season. He's pitched in 5 games, made 4 starts.
Right.
This will be his fifth start
tonight.
Of the year. Yes.
So he's looking at, what, potentially, what, maybe 7, 8 more?
I mean, he could probably get almost a dozen starts if he pitches every fifth day.
Right.
He could probably get himself, you know, maybe a dozen starts out of this, you know, moving forward. I mean, he could find himself somewhere in that 15 to 18 kind of start range. If everything works out and everything is healthy and he doesn't go back down or, you know, any kind of other sidetracks to what his story is. If he can just stay in the rotation and pitch every fifth day. And that would be a big boost for this club. I'm not talking about Michael Soroka from 2019. I'm talking about just having a guy that gives you some stability in that rotation. Yep. Again, this is what we talk about. When you have 2 guys out of your rotation, it throws everything up in the air.
Everything.
When you have 1 guy that's out, you can find a way to plug and play in that fifth starter spot. And sometimes you don't need a fifth starter, right? I mean, with days off and things like that, sometimes you don't have to have a fifth starter. But, you know, it's just a situation where it looks so promising, and I just have my doubts about whether or not he gets back to that kind of level. I mean, can you imagine, I mean, in all honesty, if they signed Freed to a long-term extension, could you imagine having Ian Anderson, Spencer Strider, Kyle Wright, Max Fried, and Michael Soroka anchoring your staff for the next handful of years?
Right.
I mean, let's say for the next 6 or 8 years that those guys anchor your staff. Because we know Strider's going to be here for a while. Fried is the one that's a big one, obviously, up in the air. Again, he's a free agent after the end of next season. But can you imagine having that group of guys anchor your staff?
Mm-hmm.
You know, anchor it? So again, I'm with you. I hope that he can just be solid.
Yeah, that's all we, because I think what happens with these guys, especially with pitching, mentally you kind of put pressure on yourself. Again, especially you got to think, he knows what kind of career or what kind of season he had that year, right? So now he's probably pressuring himself to, I got to be back to that kind of form, and you don't. We just need you to come out here, give us a solid 5-6 innings per start where, you know, you give up 1 run maybe max, you know, 2 runs max. Because right now, the way the bats are operating, these guys, all these pitchers, if they can go out there, give us 5-6 innings, only giving up 1, maybe 2 runs, like, we're in every game. And so he just needs to focus on being able to just go out there and perform and give just a decent, solid performance each start and not try to pressure himself to get back to a form of, you know, that, to your point, to that 2019 form. And I think that's young guys, they do that to themselves. You know what I'm saying? They'll put pressure on themselves unnecessarily to perform at a level. And I think that just when you're a pitcher, it's all about your mechanics. So if you're in your own head, your mechanics aren't going to be where they need to be because you're focused too much. And that's, I mean, so again, just go out there. And I think, again, if he can just finish up this season, take the off season, just work on, again, be a solid pitcher night in, night out. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm with you. I mean, I just, you know, I don't look at him as being an ace anymore. I don't think he's ever going to get back to that level. I think Strider and however long Freed pitches for this team, that's your aces of this staff. I think Kyle Wright, you know, again, moving forward, you know, in the future. Like, let's factor that Charlie Morton retires, right? You know, if it's Wright, Soroka, Anderson, Freed, Strider, you know, Soroka's probably the 4th or 5th starter in a rotation like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the 4th or 5th guy in that pecking order. You know, whereas a few years ago, he might have been your ace.
Right.
I mean, he in 2019, he was your ace.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, in the future, you would have thought that he would have been your ace. Now, if he can just be a fourth or fifth guy in our rotation, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take that kind of production from him. If he's a, you know, again, 11 to 13 win type of guy, and he can pitch 170, you know, innings or 180 innings, I'll take that. Like, right. I'll take that all day long from Michael Soroka. But it just is a shame that, you know, again, everything just got derailed the way that it did. So, all right, when we come back, it will be time for That's Life. We lost a legend today, plus our top 10. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, Now to the Game, Odyssey.com app.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Radio 92.9 The Game, back at it, Chuck Reese Show, 921 live from the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. At JMSH316 on Twitter, at the D. Lewis for real on Twitter. We will do Rank'em coming up in an hour and 20 minutes from right now. So 10:40, get us your Rank'em list. Day-Day, we lost the great Tony Bennett earlier today.
I saw that text, and yeah. I honestly, I was going to hit you and be like, hey, did you want to derail just for a second and come in with some Tony Bennett for
Well, I mean, again, listen, we can always do bumper music of
yeah,
Tony Bennett. So,
that's true,
again,
too.
You know, again, I left more than my heart in San Francisco, but anyway. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, and it's funny because, I mean, obviously, you know, that's his signature song, I Left My Heart in San Francisco, and that was a long time ago. But, you know, that duets album that he did really gave him a career resurgence. Right, I mean, he did all of those songs with all different, you know, artists across the spectrum of music. A lot of stuff with Lady Gaga, but you know, he really became sort of the crooner of modern day times. You know, after, I mean, Sinatra and Martin and everybody else died, he became the real crooner that was left, like one of the really last crooners left in the world. And he did that duets album, and that thing just gave him a complete career resurgence.
Yeah.
And he was featured everywhere at that point.
Was he in Cannonball Run? Was he in one of those?
Dean Martin was in Cannibal Run.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking
Sammy
of.
Davis
I'm thinking.
And Dean Martin
yeah,
were both
that's
in
what
Cannibal
I'm thinking. They were both in Cannibal
yeah,
Run.
Yeah.
They were in something
remember,
else, too.
Remember, Dean Martin played the pastor.
Right.
In
the
Cannibal
drunk
Run.
Pastor.
Yes. That was his gimmick. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, he played the pastor in Cannonball
right,
Run.
Right,
so,
right,
yes.
Right.
But no, I don't think Tony Bennett was.
He was in something, though, wasn't
well,
he?
Well, I mean, he was in Bruce Almighty. Where he was,
right,
the, he
okay.
was remember when
yeah.
Bruce pointed at him, like,
yes.
you know, like he
yes.
knew Bruce and
yeah.
all that.
Yeah.
So,
that's what, yeah.
so again, you know, when they had that dinner or whatever like that. So, but yeah, but I mean, he really kind of found a lot of fame later in life, you know, with some of these albums that he did. And I mean, young artists were lining up to sing with him. So, but he's dead. And again, lived a great life for
yeah.
all of it. So, this is very cool. So, the James Bond V8 Aston Martin from the movie The Living Daylights. Mm-hmm. Now, are you familiar at all with The Living Daylights?
No, that must be one of the, like,
that's
earlier...
a Timothy Dalton. That's Timothy Dalton.
Okay, I didn't watch any of his.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't watch
so,
any of his.
Well, he only had two, so he
right.
didn't have a whole lot. But there's a scene in The Living Daylights where he drives a V8 Aston Martin, and he's on this ice lake, and it's got, like, rails to give him grip, and it's a rocket launcher.
They showed that in the preview.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, right. So, they show him blowing up the,
yep.
the shed and all that
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff. Well, that Aston Martin is now up for sale from the movie. So, it's got an estimated price tag, and it's got all the bells and whistles, and it is serial numbered and everything. They say the price tag on the car up for auction is somewhere between $1.4 and $1.8 million.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere between $1.4 and $1.8 million that this thing is up for auction for. So, but again, it would be a cool piece of history because it does have the bells and whistles and stuff. Now, again, it doesn't shoot rockets out.
Right,
but, I mean, it's
but
got,
still.
It's got the technology, and it's got the rails, and it's got the, like, rocket engine behind
yep.
it and all that kind of stuff. So, very, very cool car. But, yeah, it's, you know, again, it's a cool piece of history that if you're into that sort of thing, sometimes those cars don't come up very often. You know, some of these prop cars and stuff like that, you know.
Right.
The bullet cars, the fastback Mustangs, you know, there were like four of those that were used in the movie, and they were scattered all over the place, and collectors were running to find them. Like, one was found in a used store or whatever in New Jersey. I mean, they were just in random places. So
wow.
You never know where something like that is going to be found. So, all right. So Taylor Swift did not go to the Philippines as part of her Asia tour, right? So, like, she's going all over Asia and Europe and everything. So she didn't go to the Philippines, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the Philippines have now embraced somebody by the name of Taylor Sheesh, 28 years old. This is a drag persona of Mac Cornell of Manila. He says that he's been impersonating Swift on stage since late March, and the country of the Philippines has completely embraced this person, And now they're on a tour of Manila in the Philippines and all going all around the Philippines and selling out shows everywhere in the Philippines.
What size venues, do they say?
No. Again, I don't know how big they are, but
right.
Taylor Sheesh. Look, everybody's got to make a living.
Everybody's got a gimmick.
Yeah, everybody's got a gimmick. Everybody's got to make a living, you know, on it. So good for that person. You know, they're making a living, and they're touring around as the replacement for Taylor Swift, who did not go to the Philippines. So there you go. All right, today is National Junk Food Day. So with that, tonight's top 10. Your top 10 favorite junk food items. Day-Day, the floor is yours.
All right, so I actually had one of these tonight, brownies.
Okay. Any particular kind or?
I'm a traditional brownie guy.
Do you buy them somewhere or are they homemade?
Well, this one was from Jersey Mike's because I had a Jersey Mike's sandwich.
Okay, I've got a Jersey Mike's sub out there right now.
Yeah,
actually.
I had a Jersey Mike's sub and so, but.
Do you go to the one that's on Sydney Marcus right there or which one do you go
no,
to?
No, so I live, the way I come in, I can go by the one right there on, what's the Atlanta Road right there, Road right by 285.
Gotcha.
But normally my wife makes brownies. I mean, you know, box brownie, but sure. You know, normally she'll make some.
Yeah.
This one, it's the most controversial, well, one of the most controversial candies out there, but I love them. Candy corn.
Ugh. Ugh.
I love candy corn. Red Vines. You know, are you familiar? You're familiar with Red Vines, right?
I've heard of them. I don't know that I've ever had one.
Though. Okay, they're good.
Okay.
I like them.
That's
anyway.
All subjective, right?
But so M&M's. There's a mint-flavored M&M's.
Oh, I've seen those.
Oh,
yes.
I love those. Yeah. Man, I'll take some of those and some whipped cream and mix it together and just eat a cup of that.
Wow, okay. Yeah. All right, that's good.
Honey barbecue-flavored Lay's. That's the goldish looking bag.
Yes,
I love those. That's my favorite Lay's.
Yes.
Before those came out, it used to be the mesquite barbecue ones.
Right.
But then those came out, and I love those.
Okay.
Chocolate chip cookies, fresh baked chocolate chip cookies.
Okay.
What's the place? Dairy Queen. They have a strawberry cheesecake blizzard.
Oh, yeah.
I love that thing, man. Gummy bears.
Wow, okay.
There's a particular brand. I can't think of it. It's a green bag. I think it's called Black Forest.
Okay.
They make gummy bears, gummy worms. You know, they make several types of candies, but they're gummy bears. I love their gummy bears. Twizzlers. And then just Nerds. I love a box of Nerds from time to time. Yeah, and just put a whole gob of them in my mouth and just... Yeah.
Wow. Okay. You sound like my daughter. I mean, so, like my daughter would be eating. So, all right. So I don't have too many sugary types of things on my list, but I mean I've got other things. So the sugary stuff, zebra cakes.
Yeah.
Love Little Debbie zebra cakes. And zingers. You know what
zingers
are?
Yeah.
The little fingers.
Yep.
Listen. You can get them with the
chocolate or vanilla.
Chocolate,
or red.
Vanilla, and the red coconut. Like, yes, please. Yeah. Which do I like best? Yes, is the answer to all of that. Unfortunately, I still drink too many Coke Zeros.
Okay.
You know, again, I need to. I try not to drink Coke Zero as much as I can, but I'll have a Coke Zero. You know, kind of probably more than. I mean, again, I don't ever drink more than one Coke Zero in a day, but. You know, I might go like 3 out of 5 days and have a Coke Zero.
Wow.
So, but it's not all the sugar, right?
You know,
again, I justify like that. My other sugary thing is Fiddle Faddle. Love Fiddle Faddle.
Oh, you know what? I did used to like Fiddle Faddle. Well, I like Crunchy Munch a little more.
Okay.
But I did. I used to eat that a lot, but I had to stop.
Yeah, I just, when I get a box of something like that, I can just plow the box.
Yeah.
I can just plow that whole box in there. So, yeah, it's an addiction. Now, the rest of these are more fast food items. So, I hate to say, but I've really fallen in love with Arby's mozzarella sticks.
Oh, my son likes those.
they've got that 2 for $7 deal where you can get the mozzarella sticks and then you can either get like a roast beef sandwich or chicken nuggets or like it's a combo, right? There's like 4 or 5 different items you can combine in the 2 for $7. But Man, I love those. I love those mozzarella sticks. You know, and I'm not a big mozzarella stick guy, but those ones are just so good. Like, they're just so good from Arby's. I could eat 1,000 of these. The hard shell tacos at Taco Bell.
You sound like my son. That's something else he loves. He loves Taco Bell tacos, hard shells.
Yes, yep. I like the soft ones, but I like hard shell tacos, and I really enjoy, and I could just eat like, yeah, I tempt myself as, don't they sell like boxes of the tacos or something like that?
Where you can make your own at home?
No.
Restaurant?
Like Taco Bell. They sell like a box of
tacos.
Yeah,
it's like a large size, yeah.
Okay, well, I've been tempted to buy one of those boxes.
Yeah, I think it's
like
I don't even know how many there are. 12.
Oh, yeah, I could do that easily.
Yeah, I think it's 12.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, I could do all that, so. But I've been tempted. I haven't bought it yet, but I've been tempted to buy all of that. Just tortilla chips in general.
Okay.
You know, I can do them with cheese. I can do them with guacamole, salsa. I can eat them plain. Bean dip. I like that too. I can just plow through some tortilla chips.
My wife actually taught herself in a matter of days how to make them.
Own,
because when we were on vacation in Puerto Rico, the chef made some, and she got a quick glimpse. Came home when we came home from the trip, like 2 days later, I walked in the kitchen and she had made some.
Wow,
and
okay,
they were good.
Wow, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I guess she like deep fries them and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, okay. Well, I may have to come over. But I do like tortilla chips, and the last two items. Double Whoppers with cheese, and I know that's not necessarily the traditional junk food kind of thing, but I love double Whoppers with cheese.
Man.
Like I love a double Whopper with cheese, no tomato, no onion, and I can plow through those things. Like
swallow that thing whole.
Yeah,
baby.
Just gobble it up. and then my last item, this has become one of my favorite pizzas, but I love Little Caesars, and I love their cheese sticks.
Yeah,
I love the cheese sticks, and. Usually, if I go to Little Caesars, I'll get the half pizza, half cheese stick thing.
Yep.
You know, and it's only like, I don't know, $7 or $8 or whatever like that. But man, it's so good.
Yeah.
Like those cheese sticks in that marinara sauce.
The marinara, yes.
It's so good.
Yeah, I'm a cheese stick marinara guy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so good. Mm-hmm. So again, I like cheese and I like butter. I like my cheese and butter. On everything. So anyway, hit us up with your favorites as well. 404-726-0929. When we get back, spoke to Lauren Williams a little bit earlier on in the show, getting your latest news about the Atlanta Hawks. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out at Kia Studios on this Friday evening with you. 404-726-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line to be a part of the show. Well, Hawks made some big moves today. I didn't see how much money they saved because that seems to be more of what we do than anything else when we start making trades and all this kind of stuff. We start picking up more cap space and cash available to us. So let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. She is here to make sense of all of this. Our friend of the show, Lauren Williams, joins us. She's the Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of her work, and you can find her on her personal Twitter page, at Williams Lauren L. Lauren, as always, appreciate a few minutes here on the show tonight on this rainy, thundery, lightning Friday.
Yeah, I'm not happy about the thunder and lightning, but happy about the rain. It was getting pretty hot out there.
yeah, absolutely it was. So, well, I mean, so the Hawks, I guess, signed Wesley Matthews. Let me ask you this very simply. What does this move mean for the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah, I think they just added a veteran to this roster that they sorely missed. I think the last couple of seasons, you know, they didn't really have anyone that was kind of a good voice of reason in the locker room, and it was part of the reason that this team kind of let go of Nate McMillan at the, you know, before the All-Star break last season. They said that they didn't have anybody kind of in the locker room kind of holding them accountable, and so that kind of fell on the coaches a bit, and now they have that person who is kind of the in-between between those guys, and I think it's a good fit. I don't think we can expect him to play a ton of minutes. The rotation, I think, is pretty set. We know who, you know, those first nine guys are going to be, and usually Quinn Snyder doesn't typically go beyond nine guys in the rotation. But he's going to be a strong voice. You know, he was on that team in the bubble with, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton and, you know, everything that went on there. And then he spent the last two seasons, after a stint away from the Bucks, he went back to Milwaukee. So I think the Hawks are getting a really solid voice right now.
Yeah. And, you know, just looking at kind of his minutes, I mean, he only played 15 minutes a night, you know, last year. It was the first year ever that he didn't start a game where he started, you know, pretty regularly early in his career. But do you, I mean, let's ask, I mean, because again, we see these guys come and go. Is this a guy that you think can stick with this roster, or, you know, is he going to be a guy that they move on for somebody else?
Yeah, I think because they signed him to a vet minimum deal versus, say, acquiring him via trade, it's a little bit more likely, in my opinion, that he sticks around for a little bit longer, at least until maybe, say, the trade deadline. But again, he's a guy that, because he's on a one-year deal, he does look a little bit more enticing to some teams as an expiring contract if they're looking to kind of shift some pieces around. But the thing is, it's, you know, the guy who the Hawks are continuously tied to in these trade rumors is Pascal Siakam. So, I mean, are you going to be sending out a one-year rental for a one-year rental? I don't think Wesley Matthews is enough to move the needle there. So, yeah, I just see him kind of sticking around a little bit longer than maybe even Patty Mills.
So, all right, this is the question then at this point. So we're almost to August. And look, October, I think it's October 2nd or 3rd is when training camp opens in the NBA. So we still got, you know, plenty of time and, you know, summer league is over and this, that, and the other, okay? As we sit here in the year of our Lord, July 21st in 2023 at 7:43 p.m. at night, are the Hawks a better roster right now than when they wrapped up in losing to the Boston Celtics?
It's hard for me to say that they got better, just because when you trade John Collins away, you trade a guy away who gave you solid rim protection on the defensive end. So maybe offensively they got a little bit better. You're adding in career high shooters who shoot over 35% in Patty Mills and Wesley Matthews, again, who we don't anticipate playing a ton of minutes. But defensively, it's hard to see them being much better than they were last season. And that was part of the reason that they struggled in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago, was they needed to get better defensively. So, yeah, it's tough for me to say that this roster is better than where they ended the season last year.
Lauren Williams, she's the Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And to your point, Lauren, that you made just a couple of minutes ago, you know, the Pascal Siakam, you know, this has been lingering. I mean, this has been lingering out there in the etherverse, you know, for the longest time. I mean, is there any fire to the smoke? Because, you know, I've heard everything from that his brother has said that he isn't going to be with the Hawks, and there's you know, anticipation that he won't sign an extension like what DeJounte Murray did. I mean, there's all kinds of wild things that are being put out there. Do you think at the end of the day they get a deal like this done, or is this just a lot of rumor and innuendo, and it makes sense for Siakam to end up in Atlanta, but does it make sense for him to want to be in Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, definitely where there's smoke, there is fire. And I think part of the reason why an outright deal hasn't been done, say, you know, picks or players or whatever it is that there's somebody in the midst of this deal who hasn't quite agreed to whatever terms there are in front of them. And so I think that's, you know, we're seeing potentially multiple teams being kind of mixed in. And that's usually why stuff like this takes so long, is because you have to feed what everybody else wants. You have to make sure everybody comes away from the table happy. And so I think that's kind of what we're seeing here. But I do think that the Hawks would be a good fit for Siakam, in the sense that they're in a situation where it's win now versus the Raptors. We're seeing it's kind of more of a rebuilding situation. And so if he's looking to, you know, go out and get another ring, I think he has a much higher chance of doing that with the Hawks than he does with the Raptors right now. As far as money-wise, you know, the Hawks, they unloaded a lot of that John Collins contract for the future. And so they do have a little bit more space available to re-sign him. I don't know what the numbers are that he's looking for maybe next year, and maybe that's what the holdup is that they're kind of agreeing to a kind of under the table, this is what we're looking to, you know, extend you at, and he might not necessarily like that. So maybe that's where the holdup is. But I do see him being a good fit, especially if you're putting him alongside, you know, like a Jalen Johnson, the DeAndre Hunters, and Sadiq Bey, and kind of the roster that the Hawks have right now.
Well, let me play a little bit of devil's advocate with you here in this scenario, okay? If you're Pascal Siakam, why would you sign with an existing team? Because he's going to go on the marketplace, and I will bet any dinner that you want to take from me, he's going to get max money. He's a max player. And why would he, I don't care if it's the Hawks or whatever, why would he sign with a team, even for the veteran max, like what that's basically what DeJounte Murray did, why would he sign a veteran max deal when he's going to go on the open market? And again, he may not get that fifth year, but he'll get, I mean, he'll get almost super max money. I mean, he will cash in big time. I don't see a reason why he would sign with somebody and turn that opportunity down to, one, go where he wants to go, and two, get max money. So if you're the Hawks, you're looking at this and saying, okay, if I can't sign him to an extension, can I afford to just have him walk away after 1 year on this roster?
Yeah, and again, I think that's kind of what the holdup is. It's whether they can get him to either commit to re-signing with them, or, you know, it's hard to justify the Hawks signing or acquiring a guy who's, as they say, is going to be essentially a one-year rental. So I don't think, if you're the Hawks, you should sign a guy, especially if he doesn't want to be here long term. I think if the rumors are to believe, then he said that, you know, Atlanta is not necessarily the place where he wants to end up. To me, I would have hung up the phone right away and cut my losses there, because it's hard to, in my opinion, convince a guy to stay on if he's not willing to stay on.
So this also begs the other question, is, look, let's say that in an ideal world that he signs a vet max deal, which is going to be the same kind of deal that DeJounte Murray got, 4 for $120. You think the Hawks are ready to take on another $120 million of guaranteed salary the way that things have worked? I mean, again, every deal that we've watched, every deal has been $3.5 million here to save, $6.8 million here, $6.5 million here. I I'm not saying that they won't do this, but you're going to have to show me and prove to me that they're ready to take on another $120 million player on top of what they already have on this roster.
Yeah, if they believe Pascal Siakam is the guy that's going to help them move the needle, then I think that's what's going to justify them paying him that extra $120 million and taking on that contract. But they also have to think long term, right? You have guys like Onyeka Okongwu, who is going to be, he's extension eligible. Sadiq Bey, extension eligible. They also have to think about whether or not they're going to continue investing in guys like AJ Griffin and Jalen Johnson, as well as some of the other young guys that they have on their roster. So I think if you're putting all your eggs in one basket in terms of Siakam, to me, that tells me that they truly believe that he's the X factor that's going to help them, you know, move further in the playoffs and hopefully toward a championship.
Could some of this be the idea of there aren't many other great options that are available, either obviously via free agency? I mean, there's I don't think that there's really, you know, anybody who's at Siakam's level on the free agent market. Mm-hmm. And maybe, too, just there aren't a lot of great trade possibilities. I mean, again, we're not getting Joel Embiid or Giannis. I mean, we're not getting somebody like that. So, again, is he the next best thing? Because it just seems like that the everybody just assumes that he's going to be gone and mm-hmm. he's going to go somewhere. But if the Raptors were so desperate to get rid of him, I promise you they could find suitors for Pascal Siakam. It doesn't have to be just the Hawks. There would be teams that would certainly love to take him on. If it's really the idea of the Raptors want to get rid of him and not have to pay him that max money.
Yeah, I think the benefit is that you're hopefully locking him in right now, just because when you look at you know what we saw this free agent class, it wasn't exactly the most enticing. Next year's free agent class minus Siakam isn't exactly, you know, the most enticing. Obviously, that depends on what we see this season. Maybe that changes our outlook on next year's free agency class. So it's just a tough market. I think the only other person that maybe jumps out to me in that free agent class is Jaylen Brown. So I think they're in the similar situation where it's just, do you pay a guy like Jaylen Brown or do you take a big like Siakam? And especially with how they've kind of locked in on DeJounte Murray, it kind of makes the idea of taking on a guy like Jaylen Brown a little bit more moot unless they are able to move on from DeAndre Hunter. So I don't know. I think that the Hawks have a lot of moving parts right now. I don't envy the situation that they're in. I don't envy Landry Fields in that front office at all. But yes, they do need to make a decision on, you know, who it is that they're going to pay.
Lauren Williams, she covers the Atlanta Hawks for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can check out all of her work at AJC.com. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page, at WilliamsLaurenL, and she joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Lauren, as always, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight. Thanks so much for being a part of it, and we'll chat again here soon.
Thank you.
You got it. Chuck Green at Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out at Kia Studios on this Friday evening with you. 404-726-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, Hawks made some big moves today. I didn't see how much money they saved because that seems to be more of what we do than anything else. When we start making trades and all this kind of stuff, we start picking up more cap space and cash available to us. So let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. She is here to make sense of all of this. Our friend of the show, Lauren Williams, joins us. She's the Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of her work, and you can find her on her personal Twitter page, at Williams Lauren L. Lauren, as always, appreciate a few minutes here on the show tonight on this rainy, thundery, lightning Friday.
Yeah, I'm not happy about the thunder and lightning, but happy about the rain. It was getting pretty hot out there.
yeah, absolutely it was. So, well, I mean, so the Hawks, I guess, signed Wesley Matthews. Let me ask you this very simply. What does this move mean for the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah, I think they just added a veteran to this roster that they sorely missed. I think the last couple of seasons, you know, they didn't really have anyone that was kind of a good voice of reason in the locker room, and it was part of the reason that this team kind of let go of Nate McMillan at the, you know, before the All-Star break last season. They said that they didn't have anybody kind of in the locker room kind of holding them accountable, and so that kind of fell on the coaches a bit, and now they have that person who is kind of the in-between between those guys, and I think it's a good fit. I don't think we can expect him to play a ton of minutes. The rotation, I think, is pretty set. We know who, you know, those first nine guys are going to be, and usually Quinn Snyder doesn't typically go beyond nine guys in the rotation. But he's going to be a strong voice. You know, he was on that team in the bubble with, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton and, you know, everything that went on there. And then he spent the last two seasons, after a stint away from the Bucks, he went back to Milwaukee. So I think the Hawks are getting a really solid voice right now.
Yeah, and, you know, just looking at kind of his minutes, I mean, he only played 15 minutes a night, you know, last year. It was the first year ever that he didn't start a game where he started, you know, pretty regularly early in his career. But, let's ask, I mean, because, again, we see these guys come and go. Is this a guy that you think can stick with this roster, or, you know, is he going to be a guy that they move on for somebody else?
Yeah, I think because they signed him to a vet minimum deal versus, say, acquiring him via trade, it's a little bit more likely, in my opinion, that he sticks around for a little bit longer, at least until maybe, say, the trade deadline. But again, he's a guy that, because he's on a one-year deal, he does look a little bit more enticing to some teams as an expiring contract if they're looking to kind of shift some pieces around. But the thing is, it's, you know, the guy who the Hawks are continuously tied to in these trade rumors is Pascal Siakam. So, I mean, are you going to be sending out a one-year rental for a one-year rental? I don't think Wesley Matthews is enough to move the needle there. So, yeah, I just see him kind of sticking around a little bit longer than maybe even Patty Mills.
So, all right, this is the question then at this point. So we're almost to August. And look, October, I think it's October 2nd or 3rd is when training camp opens in the NBA. So we still got, you know, plenty of time. And you know, Summer League is over and this, that, and the other, okay? As we sit here in the year of our Lord, July 21st in 2023 at 7:43 p.m. at night, are the Hawks a better roster right now than when they wrapped up in losing to the Boston Celtics?
It's hard for me to say that they got better, just because when you trade John Collins away, you trade a guy away who gave you solid rim protection on the defensive end. So maybe offensively they got a little bit better. You're adding in career high shooters who shoot over 35% in Patty Mills and Wesley Matthews, again, who we don't anticipate playing a ton of minutes. But defensively, it's hard to see them being much better than they were last season. And that was part of the reason that they struggled in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago, was they needed to get better defensively. So, it's tough for me to say that this roster is better than where they ended the season last year.
Lauren Williams, she's the Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And to your point, Lauren, that you made just a couple of minutes ago, the Pascal Siakam, this has been lingering. I mean, this has been lingering out there in the etherverse, for the longest time. I mean, is there any fire to the smoke? Because, I've heard everything from that his brother has said that he isn't going to be with the Hawks, and there's anticipation that he won't sign an extension like what DeJounte Murray did. I mean, there's all kinds of wild things that are being put out there. Do you think at the end of the day they get a deal like this done, or is this just a lot of rumor and innuendo, and it makes sense for Siakam to end up in Atlanta, but does it make sense for him to want to be in Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, definitely where there's smoke, there is fire. And I think part of the reason why an outright deal hasn't been done, say, picks or players or whatever it is that there's somebody in the midst of this deal who hasn't quite agreed to whatever terms there are in front of them. And so I think that's, we're seeing potentially multiple teams being kind of mixed in. And that's usually why stuff like this takes so long, is because you have to feed what everybody else wants. You have to make sure everybody comes away from the table happy. And so I think that's kind of what we're seeing here. But I do think that the Hawks would be a good fit for Siakam, in the sense that they're in a situation where it's win now versus the Raptors. We're seeing it's kind of more of a rebuilding situation. And so if he's looking to, go out and get another ring, I think he has a much higher chance of doing that with the Hawks than he does with the Raptors right now. As far as money-wise, the Hawks, they unloaded a lot of that John Collins contract for the future. And so they do have a little bit more space available to re-sign him. I don't know what the numbers are that he's looking for maybe next year, and maybe that's what the holdup is that they're kind of agreeing to a kind of under the table, this is what we're looking to, extend you at, and he might not necessarily like that, so maybe that's where the holdup is. But I do see him being a good fit, especially if you're putting him alongside like a Jalen Johnson, the DeAndre Hunters, and Sadiq Bey, and kind of the roster that the Hawks have right now.
Well, let me play a little bit of devil's advocate with you here in this scenario, okay? If you're Pascal Siakam, why would you sign with an existing team? Because he's going to go on the marketplace, and I will bet any dinner that you want to take from me, he's going to get max money. He's a max player. And why would he, I don't care if it's the Hawks or whatever, why would he sign with a team, even for the veteran max, like what that's basically what DeJounte Murray did, why would he sign a veteran max deal when he's going to go on the open market? And again, he may not get that fifth year, but he'll get, he'll get almost super max money. I mean, he will cash in big time. I don't see a reason why he would sign with somebody and turn that opportunity down to, one, go where he wants to go, and two, get max money. So if you're the Hawks, you're looking at this and saying, okay, if I can't sign him to an extension, can I afford to just have him walk away after 1 year on this roster?
Yeah, and again, I think that's kind of what the holdup is. It's whether they can get him to either commit to re-signing with them, or, it's hard to justify the Hawks signing or acquiring a guy who's, as they say, is going to be essentially a one-year rental. So I don't think if you're the Hawks, you should sign a guy, especially if he doesn't want to be here long term. I think if the rumors are to believe, then he said that, you know, Atlanta is not necessarily the place where he wants to end up. I would have hung up the phone right away and cut my losses there, because it's hard to, in my opinion, convince a guy to stay on if he's not willing to stay on.
So this also begs the other question, let's say that in an ideal world that he signs a vet max deal, which is going to be the same kind of deal that DeJounte Murray got, 4 for $120. You think the Hawks are ready to take on another $120 million of guaranteed salary the way that things have worked? I mean, again, every deal that we've watched, every deal has been $3.5 million here to save, $6.8 million here, $6.5 million here. I I'm not saying that they won't do this, but you're going to have to show me and prove to me that they're ready to take on another $120 million player on top of what they already have on this roster.
Yeah, if they believe Pascal Siakam is the guy that's going to help them move the needle, then I think that's what's going to justify them paying him that extra $120 or so million dollars and taking on that contract. But they also have to think long term, right? You have guys like Onyeka Okongwu, who is going to be, he's extension eligible. Sadiq Bey, extension eligible. They also have to think about whether or not they're going to continue investing in guys like AJ Griffin and Jalen Johnson, as well as some of the other young guys that they have on their roster. So I think if you're putting all your eggs in one basket in terms of Siakam, to me, that tells me that they truly believe that he's the X factor that's going to help them, you know, move further in the playoffs and hopefully toward a championship.
Could some of this be the idea of there aren't many other great options that are available, either obviously via free agency? I mean, I don't think that there's really, you know, anybody who's at Siakam's level on the free agent market. Mm-hmm. And maybe, too, just there aren't a lot of great trade possibilities. I mean, again, we're not getting Joel Embiid or Giannis. I mean, we're not getting somebody like that. So, again, is he the next best thing? Because it just seems like that everybody just assumes that he's going to be gone and he's going to go somewhere. But if the Raptors were so desperate to get rid of him, I promise you, they could find suitors for Pascal Siakam. It doesn't have to be just the Hawks. There would be teams that would certainly love to take him on. If it's really the idea of the Raptors want to get rid of him and not have to pay him that max money.
Yeah, I think the benefit is that you're hopefully locking him in right now, just because when you look at, you know what we saw this free agent class, it wasn't exactly the most enticing. Next year's free agent class minus Siakam isn't exactly, you know, the most enticing. Obviously, that depends on what we see this season. Maybe that changes our outlook on next year's free agency class. So it's just a tough market. I think the only other person that maybe jumps out to me in that free agent class is Jaylen Brown. So I think they're in the similar situation where it's just, do you pay a guy like Jaylen Brown or do you take a big like Siakam? And especially with how they've kind of locked in on DeJounte Murray, it kind of makes the idea of taking on a guy like Jaylen Brown a little bit more moot, unless they are able to move on from DeAndre Hunter. So I don't know. I think that the Hawks have a lot of moving parts right now. I don't envy the situation that they're in. I don't envy Landry Fields in that front office at all, but yes, they do need to make a decision on, you know, who it is that they're going to pay.
Lauren Williams, she covers the Atlanta Hawks for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can check out all of her work at AJC.com. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page, at WilliamsLaurenL, and she joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Lauren, as always, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight. Thanks so much for being a part of it, and we'll chat again here soon.
Thank you.
You got it. Chuck Green at Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.